A special welcome today to all the kindergartners through second grade and their families, to our school and our church. We thank you for singing today. What great music. And the praise of the Lord is beautiful. I heard some Latin songs there, reminding us that God's word is for every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And out of the mouths of babes, God has perfected his praise. It's good to have you with us. And Latin greetings to everyone. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Old Testament reading today that Pastor read from was Jeremiah 31. Here, God wants us to know that he is going to make a new covenant with his people. The new covenant is notably new and different than the old. The text began like this: "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand and took them out of the land of Egypt." We had a wedding here yesterday, a couple named Jody Daniels and John Pettijohn. They're members down at Praise Lutheran in Maryville. And as I was watching the wedding, I was reminded of that little phrase that's often used with weddings: something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. And in a way, that relates to our text today. God wants us to appreciate some things for being old. God's work of old, he wants us to appreciate. God created the world in 6 days, Genesis says. And that wasn't yesterday. That was many moons ago. Or the people of old. The word of the prophets that came to us from David and Abraham and Isaac and Ruth and Moses and Elijah and Esther and Jeremiah. God's word says that God spoke to the people of old, to us, and still does today in his word. Another old thing, God's gifts, like baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are old, old gifts that we celebrate, we still here do today, like we did with our fathers did 500 years ago in the German Reformation, and 1,500 years before that when Jesus instituted them and gave them to the church. These are old gifts that we still do today, old things. We would appreciate those. Finally, concerning old things, there's the benediction at the end of church, when the pastor rises and says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace." That's not something new. That's something very old. It goes back to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. That's an old thing. We still do that today. God wants us to appreciate the things of old. Then there are things that God wants us to appreciate for being new. New moons, new harvest, new wineskins, new and old treasures, new birth. The psalmist says, "Sing to the Lord a new song." St. Paul teaches us that in Christ we are a new creation. The old order of creation is passing away, but the new has come in Jesus. Being saved means that we are in Christ Jesus and walk in the newness of life. And finally, in our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah 31, God wants us to appreciate something old and something new in how he relates to us, God and his people. These are the old and the new covenants. God's word would have us to learn them and to know them apart. They are not the same. In Sesame Street talk, we would say, one of these things is not like the other. A question for you. Do you know the difference between the old and the new covenants? You know, my daughter this month that she turned 6 years old. And you know what she got for her birthday? But a brand new bike for her birthday. Good gift, right? This week, though, however, do you know what happened? We left that bike out on the porch, and wouldn't you know, someone came along and stole that bike this week. But don't be too concerned, because he was a generous thief. He actually left another bike, another kid's bike, in its place. And in fact, the funny thing is, It was the same brand as the other bike. You get it at Target. But it was an older model. And, you know, my daughter, it didn't take her about 3 seconds to look at the bike and goes, my new bike was better, Dad, wasn't it? I said, yeah, it was. It sure was. That's why the thief took it. The old one he left was still a good bike. I mean, you can still ride it. It's heavier. It's rustier. But very doubtful that we'll ever get it back. But if we do, if we ever do get the bike back, we will really appreciate the newness of it. A new bike is different than an old bike. A new car is different than an old car. You just appreciate it more. Likewise, we should appreciate the newness of the new covenant. But in order to understand the new covenant, you have to know and appreciate the old, the way it was before. Now, thank God, we don't have to go back and live under the old covenant and to appreciate it. Rather, God's word tells us what the old covenant is. So we simply need ears to hear, a little imagination, and the desire to know the difference. Some people still live as though we live under the old covenant, and that's, I find, kind of distressing, because here's what the old covenant is like. Let me tell you. The old covenant was a conditional covenant between God and his people. It said this: if you do this, worship me and keep my commandments, then I will do this for you, which is to be your God and provide for you and your children and bring you success against your enemies. But if you break my commandments and are unfaithful to me, then I will allow you to be handed over to the hands of your enemies. I am the Lord. Well, do you know what happened to this old conditional covenant? You can probably guess. The people broke it. They didn't worship God alone. And they didn't keep the commandments as they should. So what did God do? Well, God gave them over to the hand of their enemies. But only for a time. Not forever. In time, God would bring them back to restore them again to their own land and to raise up a new servant for them and then renew the covenant with them again and again and again. Now, can you guess how many times the people broke the old covenant? Just once? Or twice? 3 times? 7 times? Well, much, much more, didn't they? More like 70 times 7, to borrow a phrase from Jesus. Enough times so that when the prophet Jeremiah is born, he realized one thing for sure: God doesn't give up on his people. God still loves his people. In truth, he is not bound to the old covenant. God is truly merciful. He is patient, abounding in steadfast love, even after the people broke the old covenant many, many, many times. So why the old covenant then? Why did God give us the old covenant? Well, it had a purpose. It was there to teach God's people his desire for them to be holy, to know what true justice is, and to know real mercy. And through this old covenant, the people learned the need of repentance and honesty with God because of their sins and their faults, because of their own fallen will and ways. They are not holy. They are not just on their own. And unlike God, they do not know or show mercy when others sin against them. So at the proper time, God revealed to Jeremiah the way and coming of the new covenant. The new covenant is summed up like this: not if, but I am. I am. As in, I am your God, and you are my people. To you I send my holy Son, and in him I reveal my unconditional love. In my Son you will find the full and free forgiveness for your sins. Life eternal. If the old covenant seemed to depend half on God and half on us, or three quarters on God and one quarter on us, then the new covenant depends on this: 100% God. God himself will fulfill the requirements of the old covenant. 0% us. Some have said, now wait, you still have to contribute your faith. Isn't that something? That's your part, right? But the truth is, God doesn't want your 1% faith or your 25%, not even your 50% faith. The old covenant taught that he is holy. He wants 100% faith. And the only way that he gets that, the only way, is that when he looks at you, he sees his Son, Christ Jesus, the Holy One. When he sees you, he sees him. And when he sees him, he sees you being totally faithful, totally just, and totally merciful. God gives us that 100% perfect faith and holiness by making known to us the new covenant in Jesus' blood, and by making known the full and sure forgiveness of sins in his name. God is not bargaining with us and waiting for our first move or our next move. God is totally reconciled to us through Jesus Christ. As he said on the cross, it is finished. And such finished love prompts us to love God and to love our neighbor. Not because of some old covenant that is established between us and God, but rather because he first loved us. Even while we were yet sinners and hostile to God and turned away from God and breaking the law, God our Father loves us unconditionally through his Son. That's the message of the new covenant. The old covenant said, fulfill your part. But if you fall from my path, then you are not my people. The new covenant says, children, walk in my love, knowing that you are my people. Your sins, which are many, are forgiven. I am your God. Therefore, you are not a stranger to me. Don't go far away. Don't exclude yourself from me. Come near. Wash. Eat. Drink. I am your God. These are the old and the new covenants that God wants us to know and appreciate. Something old and something new. New isn't always better, but it is when it comes to the new covenant. It's better for us because it depends on God and not on our works. And it's better for God because in this gospel heard today, God gets what he always wanted. You. And there's nothing borrowed or blue about it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus, the Holy One. Amen. We rise to sing the Create in Me, the Offertory.